Good morning, church.
That was pretty lame. Give it to him again, Wayne.
Nah.
All right.
In Haven Church, we do small things in a big way.
So that's right.
If you want to be a small thing, let's try it one more time. Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Awesome. That's a bigger way. Awesome. So, anybody this week think about what we said last week about doing small things in a big way? Anybody just feel that pressure to say, you know, I'm just here to worship you, God, and it doesn't matter, you know, what, you know, how big I'm going to make my contribution, but, you know, just come here and worship God today. Just stand up. And it's Labor Day weekend, you know, this is our 1 year anniversary.
In this building.
Guys were around the last 5 years. I mean, this is a blessing. I mean, we spent 5 years at Northeast Middle School, and you know, we spent four of those years unpacking and repacking and setting up church and setting up chairs, and you know, it was cool working with people, but at the same time, it was such a struggle, you know. But that was one of those small things that we made in a big way to come here and be blessed and be in this church right now. I mean, yeah, it's been amazing. You know, I think people have connected a lot better in this building, and the Spirit moves in this place. So, hey, look, Thomas, give me a beat.
Tell the world who it is.
In worth.
sing that chorus again. Amazing Grace, you ready?
This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. You would lay down your life. That I would be set free.
Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me.
Down a little bit. Sing with me.
My foes are many, they rise against me, but I will hold my. I will not fear the war. I will not fear the storm. My help is on the way. My help is on the way.
Come on, church.
And oh my God, He will not delay. My refuge and strength always. I will not fear. His promise is true. My God will come through. Always. My refuge and strength always. I will not fear. His promise is true. My God will come through always, always.
Together.
And oh my God, He will not deal.
my refuge and strength always.
One more time.
I will not fear, His promise is true.
My God will come through always, always.
Keep this going a little bit longer. I want to sing it all together, How Great Is Our God. Because I just think that today we just need to remember that.
How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And oh, we'll see how great our God. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. Oh, we'll see how great is our God.
Say a chorus with me.
How great is our God.
Sing with me,
how great is our God. Oh, we'll see how great is our God.
All right, acapella. How?
Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art.
Sing it to him.
Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great.
Good morning. How we doing? Welcome to Haven Community Church. I hope everybody's having a good Labor Day weekend. Did the sun come out? It looks like it did. I got out this morning, it looked kind of crappy, and I was like, yeah, it's in the weather, they told us. But we're good. Glad everybody's here. I just want to touch on a couple announcements very quickly that we can have here. We have a lot of stuff going on, and I think Marcia's involved with most of it. Right, Marcia? You got a lot of stuff going on. That's why she's Haven's cruise director. Next week, the main important thing to hit and touch on for those who are watching online and for those who are here, next week we go back to our 10 o'clock time, so you get a little bit more sleep.
Everybody's in and out.
You're burning. There is a Bible study called Chasing Daylight, so I'll just let you know about that. But we will, next week, we will be here at our normal time, our usual time throughout the summer, throughout the year, 10 o'clock. And same players, different time. Okay, you can see the other stuff that we announced, the bowling team, which I think is pretty awesome since Jeff is usually bowls, and if you've ever seen him, he's our ringer. But Haven Movie Night, again, there's a lot of stuff going there. Church picnic, mark that on your calendar for the 28th. This church likes to eat. and they like to make the food that goes along with it. And so it's awesome. We will, right after church, we will go to Perryville Park, correct, and have a great time. And did anybody attack you yet, Marcia, to find out how to get on the pie eating contest? Okay, so Tom, you may need to be her bodyguard after the service for that. Outreach. There's a typo for Haven's Helping Hands meeting. That should be 6:30, Wednesday, September 3rd, which is this week. Where did the summer go? September 3rd, but that'll be 6:30. And then also you can see some other things. Haven booth at Elkton Fall Fest. Our Footprints team is looking for volunteers, and you can see the dates for that. That's September 20th from 8:30 a.m. to 6 p.m., and you have information about that from Mike Berdinka. If you don't know who Mike is, he's one of the people that greets you. There he is right there. He greets you, and he's waving at us from the back. And Parish Foundation is also on the 21st. Do we need anything specific for that? Are we good? Good to go. Awesome. That's a great deal. So I hope you're all doing well. What I'd like you to do on this Labor Day weekend, I'd like you to just stand up and greet one another. Greet those around you. Just say hi, and then we're going to lead some prayers. Oh, I was like, hey, not yet, not yet, not yet.
And if Sunday school would stay here, yeah. And if Sunday school would stay here real quick, we've got some things.
Because we had the Sunday school present. Ahead and have a seat. I know Debbie, we're going to go ahead and we've got some things. We're blessed to have a very good Sunday school. I think since the church started, I remember the very first week that we ever started, we had a lot of kids in our living room, which is now my bedroom. And Melissa taught Sunday school. We had a good time with that. We've always been blessed with a lot of young people and kids, and so we're continuing that today. So Debbie, who is Debbie DiVirgilio, who is, leads our Sunday school and our lay leaders, she's going to come up and share some information with you before we send them out and send them forth.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning. First of all, if you helped in Sunday school this summer, will you please stand? So this summer, we gave all of our Sunday school teachers a break, and these are all the people who agreed to help out, and so I really appreciate you and thank you. So let's give them all a round of applause. Okay, so at this time, let me just tell you how we do Sunday school. We have team teachers, and what we do is every other week, our teachers rotate so that way, one person can, you know, be in the service every other Sunday. So what I'm going to do is bring up our Sunday school teachers. So if you are teaching this year, come on up so I don't forget anybody. I know that we do have a couple of people out, and Melissa Cohen was here, but Judah was not feeling well, and she had to leave quickly. Okay, so we have Sherry Isaac is going to be teaching pre-K and kindergarten along with Pam Graybill. Your name just went. Amy Pinder is going to be teaching first and second grade. We do need another first and second grade teacher, so if you are willing and interested, please come talk to me. And Gretchen Zahn and Melissa Cohen teach the third through fifth grade. The middle school this year is being taught by Janet McCusker, and high school is being taught by Joe Cox. So this is the lineup, and we really, really appreciate our teachers, and Jack is going to just give us a prayer for our teachers this year as they enter into the new school year.
Yeah, somebody's ready to go. Get on with us so I can get to Sunday school. Let's pray. Lord God, I just want to stop right now, and I want to thank you. Number one, I wanted to thank you for children. You made very clear that when you were here, when others tried to keep the children away from you, you said, let the little children come to me, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Theirs is the kingdom of God. And God, you recognize that you even said we must come as a little child and as an older child. And so God, I know that even during the days of my Sunday school, the when that one student threw paste in the middle of somebody else's hair in Sunday school when I was a child, that you were still connecting me through the gifts and the love from teachers who shared their giftedness and shared you with me, that helped me be where I am to this day. For those who, when I was in high school, where it never seemed like anything was getting through, that God, they were committed and they just shared what they shared, and it got through to me. And I want to thank you for all of them who have gone on before. But more importantly, right now, God, I want to thank you for our children now and for those who instructed, those who are involved in any way with our children's ministry, whether it be through Sunday school or whether it be through youth group or whether it be through whatever means it may be, God, and particularly those this summer that really, I know by having teenagers that were really moved and touched by those that shared their hearts and their love for you and really helped open their eyes. We know that today children are very real. And so, God, we've got to be real with them as well. And with that, we share with them the goodness of Christ Jesus. And so, God, send your Holy Spirit upon them. Because as I've seen, when we take a step of faith and we take a strong step of faith in a direction to serve you, I find out time and time again that Satan's there to attack us every way. So we want to just defend this church and this ministry from any attack from Satan. And God, that you would not give him a stronghold, but that you will nurture these children and these teachers as they share your word to them. And we give you praise in Christ's mighty name. And as they head out of here right now, God, we are so excited for what this year is going to bring in service to them. And we give you praise in Christ's mighty name. Amen.
Amen. Middle school doesn't really have a teacher today, but if I could have them.
Okay. Janet would like to talk to the middle school outside.
And middle school, this year is a choice. The 9th and 10th graders can choose to come with me or they can go to high school.
Okay. 9th and 10th can go either high school or with Janet. So you guys can go ahead. All right, as they're leaving now, again, I want to go ahead. We're going to wait till things calm down. They are moving up this year, so you're moving up to the next class if you're of that age. And they'll be out in the hall to make sure everything goes well. All right, we want to lift up some prayers and some other things. Here's a joy. The joy is that there's free cherry tomatoes in the cafe.
I should have brought mine, too.
I've never had a prayer request for a cherry tomato, so I have something new. But that's good stuff, so please go ahead and grab those. Trudy asked for prayers for Judy and Barb and dear friends. I know Joe Hash lifted this up for, we want to keep Joe and Joni and also Jason and the whole family, Hash family, in the prayers. Their uncle Jack was killed in a motorcycle accident on Wednesday the 27th. His viewing, I believe, is Tuesday and the service on Wednesday. And so please lift them up in your prayers during this difficult time. And Bonnie, continued prayer for Sally Tigg's health. If you don't know Sally, many of you know Lisa Osborne, who's part of our church. It's her mother, and I know she's lifted up prayers for that. All right? So we want to lift up those prayers and the continued prayers that we have here as we continue on. Bow with me for this time of prayer. Lord God, we come before you now, and we just want to ask for your Holy Spirit to guide us and direct us. We want to thank you for, once again, our children and youth and the teachers. And God, we also want to lift up those concerns that we have regarding health and loss and pain. And we want to thank you for the joys that you give us in life. For those who are traveling today, God, be with them and give them safety, because we know this is one of the most well-traveled weekends of the year. For all the concerns that we have, and today, God, we're going to talk about our thoughts, and I got to tell you, that's one thing that just really hammers on me all the time. And so, God, just clean our minds out today so that we can hear from you. Clean our hearts out of all the hurt and pain. And God, fill it with your love and your strength. And Lord God, as we now move into the time where we have an opportunity to give back to you, whether we're watching online and we've been touched by this ministry and we feel as if we can go ahead and just reach out and in a click of a mouse and go ahead and give back to you. Let us do that. And God, if we're here and we just want to go ahead and give out of our heart's desire in our tithe and your offering, let us do that, because as we stand here a year from the time where we took a commitment, not knowing where it would end, you've been faithful and so have the people here. And I thank you for that and I thank them for that, God. But there's so much to do in our community. There's so many people hurting and they need to know you. So God, be with us and send your Holy Spirit upon these gifts and tithes. Multiply them and use them to further your kingdom here and around the world. For we love you in Christ's name. Amen.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see.
'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear, the hour I first believed. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior, shining as the sun, with no less days to seek God's grace than when we first begun. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior,
reading from 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, from 3 to 5. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ.
It was a pretty great day, but I think I talked too much. I bet he doesn't ask me out again. He seemed really nice and fun. I'm so glad he called me. God, I'm up for whatever you have for me. I don't even know why I'm interviewing for this job. Everyone else here looks like they have it all together. I'm sure I won't get it. I can't wait to interview today. I really believe I have a lot to offer. Even if I don't get this one, I know God has a plan. What am I doing here? I don't have anything interesting to say. I just want to go home and get in my sweats. I'm really looking forward to making some new friends. Even though this is out of my comfort zone, I'm trusting God will bring something awesome out of this party. Succeeding at the big things has a lot to do with the little things. Thoughts matter.
All right, good morning. We're going to talk about your minds today, about what your thoughts. Aren't you excited? Look at the person next to you, see if you can see their thoughts in their ears here. Let's make sure they got something going on. We are today in the second part of this series called Small Things, Big Change. And I'm glad because several people have agreed with me that your one word last week, and I know some of you did it because I saw you post it online, and your one verse, I know many of you did that as well, that God is, it's comforting to know God is haunting you as well as he is me with those words. And that's great because many people have told me very consistent things about how you wanted it to change and God's not letting you, and I'm right with you with that one. So today we really want, this whole series is dealing with how we see people in life. And when we see people in life, we see that they do these great things, and we go ahead and we think, wow, I want to make a major change in my life, and that takes a big thing. And how do they make those big changes? But as we look more and more, we find out that those big changes actually come about by just adjusting small things in our life. And today we're going to go ahead and continue with that, and we're going to focus on making small things, small changes in our thoughts. Remember our key thought for last week, and I also have that, it's throughout the series, it's also in your bulletins, that it's often the small things that no one sees that end up being the big things that everybody wants. So again, last week I asked you to think of prayerfully one small word, that one that would drive you in the up-and-coming year, or maybe even drive your life a little bit during that year. So how many of you right now would say that you did that? How many of you did that, okay? For the rest of you that did not, I've got your word. God gave it to me. It's called procrastination. So that's where many of you are. So I would challenge you to go ahead and do that, to think of one little word if you can, because they do make a big difference. So this week we're going to talk about our thoughts. Next week we're going to talk about our words. And the last week we're going to talk about our actions. Boy, isn't this exciting to start off the school year with our thoughts, our words, and our actions? Because we find out things, our thoughts influence our words, and our words influence our action, and our actions influence our lifestyle, or our, for lack of a better term, destiny, where we end up with. So today I want to talk to you about our thoughts. And what's really cool is this is something that people have been thinking of for a long time, about thinking about what you're thinking about. And one of the greatest thinkers in history was a wise person. His name was Solomon, King Solomon. And he wrote in Proverbs 23, as a person thinks in his heart, what happens? Say this with me. So is he. So is he. As a person thinks in their heart, so is he. Imagine that. When you think is how you are. Now, that doesn't sit well with me at times because I know how I am. And I also know my thoughts. And what I've found out is your life will always move in the direction of your strongest thoughts. For instance,
if you are happy in your mind, excited in your mind, your life is going to be geared toward a direction of happy and excitement. If you are depressed, upset, frustrated, guess where your life's going to head up? Depressed, frustrated, etc. That doesn't seem like rocket science, does it? Can anybody relate to those statements? Because I know when my thoughts in my mind are really, I'm really struggling, or I'm really down, or I'm really concerned, that manifests in my life time and time and time again. So King Solomon said it, and he had prayed to God for wisdom, so I figured it had some merit. So if we're going to think that something's bad, guess what? We're going to end up seeing a lot of those things. Or if you think that you probably can do something, you probably will. As a person thinks in his heart, so he will become. We are moved in the direction of our strongest thoughts. So what I want to do is I want to go ahead and start. You can see on your bulletin, I have what is called a thought audit. And here it is up on the screen as well. So if you're at home watching, go ahead and write these down, and you can go ahead and do this at home. Or we also will have the bulletin online. But the thought audit. And what I want to do is give you this chart. And I want us to balance between two different areas. We're just going to kind of, and if you're like me, you hate these things that they give you numbers. Because if they gave me 1 through 10, I figured I needed like 4.5. Is anybody like that? You like feel like you're in the middle? But we've got 1 through 10. And what I want to do is I want to measure us on the scale between worried and peaceful, based off our thoughts. Do we have worried thoughts or we have peaceful thoughts? Do we have negative thoughts or positive thoughts? Do we have worldly thoughts or eternal thoughts? And I want to help you a little bit with that. Let's start with worried and peaceful. In other words, are most of your thoughts focused more on worry than they are on peace? How do we do that? Well, let's say this. This last week, let's look. Were you worried about your kids or your job? Were you worried about the health of someone? Were you worried about money because the credit card bill came in and you were thinking, what was I doing last week? It was summer and I was having way too much fun. Or the cat ran away from home and you're really concerned that it may come back. So you're worried. You're worried about that. Okay? Or on the other hand, you're incredibly peaceful. You're secure in the promise of God that if those things do happen, you say God's in control. Doesn't mean you're not active in life. It doesn't mean that you're not just uncaring at all. It just means that you just trust in your life that God has everything under control. So what I want you to write now is, where are you on that scale between the worried and the peaceful? Be honest with yourself here. If you're more of a worrier, you should be down 5 or below. If you're more of a peaceful person that trusts God, and really, you know, you can hide it so other people don't look at it. You can mentally do it, but go ahead and put that there, because I think that's a good way to do that. So when everything bad happens, you just trust God if you're peaceful. So that's one. Circle that right now. Go ahead. And if you didn't have a bulletin, just give yourself a number. Okay? The next thing is negative thoughts versus positive thoughts. Are you mostly a negative or positive person? If you don't know, ask the person next to you if they live in the house with you. Like, for instance, some may have the spiritual gift of negativity. It's not a spiritual gift, just to let you know. I see people looking at each other. This is not good. Don't worry, we're going to get through this. Marriage counseling line will start out here afterwards. But you can find out what is wrong with something before you ever find out what's right with it. Oh, wow. you're easily critical of people. You assume the worst at times, and you can be very discontented. You're not content in life at all. For instance, you start to say things like this: if only I was married, then my life would be blah. Or since I'm married, if I only had kids, then. Or if I had that promotion at work, then I would. Or if it was, then. Everybody's giving me like, uh-oh. Uh-oh looks today. I'm with you here. You find more on the negative side than you do the positive side. Now, the positive side, you just believe the best about everybody you see. Like, for instance, you walk into a church. Could be ours, could be another one. You walk in, and you start, instead of starting to see what's not here and what's not right, you start to immediately go, oh, that's awesome. That's great. They have that. They have that. You say, wow, that's a really good spiritual gift. That's a good connection that they have there. Or it may just be a difficult day. It may just be a regular difficult day. And it's just, nobody likes me. Everybody hates me. I'm going to go eat mud or dirt or frogs or whatever you eat. I know it was some kind of creature in the ground. Then you go ahead and you say, you know what? It may not be the greatest day, but guess what? God's still in control. Okay, so where are you on that scale, negative or positive? Go ahead and circle something. Go ahead. Don't just stare at me. Circle something. This is an action. Remember, I teach also, so you do this assignment. All right? So, and our last one. Let's take our last one. Worldly versus eternal. Worldly versus eternal. So, you find yourself with thoughts consumed about the things of this life and not eternity. You're thinking of what kind of car you drive, what kind of shirt you should buy to match what else, what was on sale. You know what people, you worry a lot about what people are going to think about you. And you constantly say, well, if I wear this, they'll think I'm too old. Like, I put on a pair of shorts because I need a pair of black shorts for coaching the other day. And I had this pair of black shorts from a long time ago. And I put them on and I walk upstairs and Melissa goes, those are horrible. You know why? They had pleats in them. Everybody's checking their pants to see if they got pleats in them and they're like covering up. I had these since like the 1980s or 90s, somewhere around there. And they're so non-black now, they're purple. They've been washed so many times. So I was going to wear on the football field purple pleated shorts. I don't think that would have won and many people with the football team. They might have called me Barney or something, who knows. But immediately, after Melissa telling me, you're not going to wear those, are you? I was immediately thinking, probably not. So I went and changed and put on a pair of other shorts that were black but weren't as cool as I thought as these other ones. Or you know that people, you throw that duck face selfie online. Why do you do that? That's a whole other summer. Why do you duck face? That drives me batty. But anyway, they'll put the duck face on and then you wait and you look and see what somebody says. And if everybody says, oh, wow, awesome, funny, great, you look great, duck face, quack, quack, whatever. That one person says, what the heck are you doing? And you go, oh my gosh, I got to get that off of there. You know what I mean? We just focus on the worldly things like that. We're concerned. So we're thinking a lot about bad things, about things of this world. Or do we think of eternal thoughts that when you wake up in the morning, your first step is, not, oh, I got to go. Or it's like, wow, today is another opportunity to serve God. God, what can I do today to go ahead and bring you more glory and bring my heart closer to you and all the people that I come across with that usually I would be able to say, I don't want to deal with them today. That you say, God, this is an opportunity to really connect you to somebody else and change their life, not only for today, but for eternity. God, use me. That's an eternal thing. You think more about the worldly things or the eternal things? Go ahead, mark it on your scale. Please pass those in. No, I'm not going to go ahead and do that to you. But if you did not mark a 10, a 10, and a 10 on your sheet, then guess what? This message is for you. And guess what? I wasn't a perfect 10 either. Far from it. So this message is for me. Why? Because our thoughts determine who we are and who we become. Our life always moves in the direction of our strongest thoughts. As a person thinks in his heart, so he becomes. So, most of us are already going through our minds why we can't make tens on each of those things. Some of us are saying, well, I can't do it because, you know, my job, my culture, my situation, things have changed, and I can't possibly get a 10 out of those things. And there's so many things that cry out in my life, worry about me, stress about me. And we think about that rather than we do with what God says. And so I really believe that this is what the Apostle Paul said and why he wrote this. In Romans chapter 12, we mentioned this last week as one of my verses, but I'm going to give you a little different translation from the New Living Translation. And it says, don't copy the behaviors and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a what? Everybody said it together. Transform you into what? A new person. By doing what? By changing the way you think. In order to be a new person in Christ, you need to think differently. You and I both need to think differently. Why? Because you will become your greatest and strongest thoughts, and your life moves in that direction. So let's take a look at some of these things. So right now we're at the point you're saying, okay, we've got it. Jack, how can I change my thoughts? And that's why I'm here today, to tell you what I should be doing, okay, as well. And here's how we're going to do that. The first thing, there's two things I want to share based off of Scripture that we find. Number one, we need to learn to capture destructive thoughts. Learn to capture destructive thoughts. And that's the first one on your bulletin. Learn to capture destructive thoughts. When we look at our verse today that was read to us from 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 5, what we find out is Paul is writing to the Corinthian church. And the Corinthians, the books of the church at Corinth, they were one of the early churches, and they were a mess. They believed tons of lies. They were bringing stuff from the world into their church and saying it was cool. They would think that they were such good sinners, that they wanted to become better sinners in order to be more forgiven. So they would have all kinds of practices that we would detest, and that they would bring into the church and say, that's okay, we're forgiven by Jesus. And Paul had to straighten this mess out. And that's what he did. Or at least he tried. And so if you look in your bulletin, or you look up on the slide, or you have your Bibles, that's another key thing. If you have your Bibles, pull that out. In 2 Corinthians 10, this church that is believing so many lies and living so non-accordance to the gospel says this. Paul writes this. For we live in the world, and we do not wage war as the world does. In other words, we've got different weapons. We've got totally different weapons. The weapons we fight with are not weapons of this world. What are they? They're supernatural weapons that are available to us. And he says they have, and as we look at this, I want to share with you. On the contrary, our weapons have what? Divine power to demolish what? Strongholds. Now, I'm going to give you two Greek terms today, so you're going to be very, very intelligent. You're going to add some more to your vocabulary. Look at your bulletin. I printed them there so you wouldn't have to write them. I'm going to let you write the English version because I'm being nice today. The first word is the term dunamis. Say that. Dunamis. Dunamis is the term for power. Power in the Scripture. And it's where we also get our term. Anybody want to guess? Dynamite. Dynamite. That what he says is our weapons have divine dynamite, divine explosive power to do what? To do away or demolish strongholds. Strongholds. The term for strongholds sounds like an Asian term, but it's akamora, and that is strongholds. And it's interesting what it means. The term actually means a prisoner locked by deception. Now, one of my favorite people in history is King Henry VIII. Anybody know King Henry VIII? And now you're all singing that song by Herman Hermans. I'm Henry VIII, I am. Okay, now you're definitely singing. But Henry VIII is one of my favorite people in history, just to analyze, because there are very few people who have so much influence and power and authority in this world. But guess what? He still had to die and face his maker. But I think he's an amazing character study as I look at Henry VIII. But one of his favorite places to throw people, if he didn't behead them or until he beheaded them, including many of his seven wives, was the Tower of London. And it was a dungeon. So I was trying to make that comparison, that if you think of the deepest, darkest, dampest, dingy dungeon, that's Akamora. What it tells us here is that we are locked up by false or wrong thoughts in our lives. And when we have these wrong or false thoughts, if you're like me, they capture you and they throw you in a dungeon. And many times you can't function in life because you're so focused on these thoughts. Anybody in this dungeon with me? That when we end up experiencing that, we believe that everything in our lives is based off of this. If someone says something to us, we get so distracted by it that we can't live that day. Others of us think we're really good about dismissing it and letting it roll off of us. But let me tell you, I will guarantee if you haven't dealt with that in your life, that you've locked it away and you are still chained to that door, wherever you locked it away to. And I could tell you by experiencing people in my life who say, I just let stuff roll off me. But when life gets tough, that stuff seems to hammer them, and they start to question, am I really who people say that I am? Am I really not good at this? Am I really not good at that? Am I really a failure at this point in my life? Am I really a Christian because I've said some bad words this week? Well, join in line. See? She's upset too. So what we see is many of us exist in our lives in Akamora. And one of the worst things I've ever seen in life is where we get alone. We get alone. We tend to be a very introverted person. Introverted people, and even some people who are extroverted, like to put on the persona we're extroverted, but inside we lock away everything, and we hurt, and we feel, and we believe what somebody told us when we were 5 or 6 years old. We believe that somebody told us. Or even worse, we begin to have to believe the lies of our greatest enemy, who is Satan. And when we look at the scripture, we find out that our greatest spiritual enemy, that the greatest weapon against us, is Satan. And everybody know what he's called, one of his names. The deceiver, the father of lies. His name means Ha-Satan. It's a title, which means the deceiver. His entire nature is to deceive and to put us into the state of Akamora, because he knows if I got your mind, then I also got control of where you're headed. And if you believe that the sins you've committed and that the stuff that you've dealt in your life, and if you believe that nobody in the church loves you, and if you believe that nobody cares about you, then guess what's going to happen? Your life's going to manifest it. And he knows that everybody can talk about the goodness and the grace of Jesus Christ, how, as we sang today, that it's amazing grace that you would lay down your life for me. And he says, not for you, because you know what you've done. And if we believe that, it keeps us away from God. So why wouldn't he be the deceiver? And as we look more and more, he tells us things that aren't true. He affects our thought process to build lies on lies rather than truth. Because we know what Jesus said about the truth. He says, when you know the truth will set you what? Free. And if I set you free, Jesus said, then you are free indeed. And Satan doesn't want you free. He wants us in Akamora, where we can be kept and we can be locked away and we can deal with those things. Verse 5 says, we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And Paul said, and we take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. Isn't that an awesome statement? We take captive. No, those thoughts, my thoughts are not to take me captive, Akamora. I'm to take those thoughts and lock them away because I'm a child of God. And when I'm a child of God, I'm going to make those thoughts obey God. And then my life's going to obey that. I love this, that we demolish and take captive these thoughts and make them obedient. When we think about the wrong things, so many of us may say, I can't make a difference. I'm no good. I screw up and mess up all the time. I'm never going to amount to anything. I don't know what's going on in my life. My kids are grown and I feel I have no purpose. My kids didn't turn out the way I raised them, so I must be a failure as a parent. Does this ring with anybody? My kids haven't grown up and I wish they would. So I'm a bad parent. You see, we struggle and struggle and struggle, but what do we need to do? We don't need to struggle. We need to take those thoughts captive and we need to make them obedient to Christ. You know, there's an interesting app I found. It's a really cool app. My kids like to play games and stuff on my wife's phone because they know better than to touch mine. But there's an app that was written. It's called Truth or Trash. And it's made for kids. And it's made by two Christians. So like, here it is right here. See, Truth or Trash. And you go ahead, you click on it. And the first thing says, I should rely on my strength. Truth or trash. So technically, we should say trash, but there are some people say, you're darn right I should. I was taught to be self-sufficient. Don't depend on anybody. You're only going to make it in this world. It's all on you. So I hit truth, and it says, incorrect. You might think that you're strong on your own, but God's strength is incomparable. Rely on his strength, Ephesians 6:10. Well, let's look at this one. I am a child of God. I'll say truth. And they say, correct. You have asked Jesus to be your Savior. You are God's child. You have been adopted into his family. He is your father. It gives you Ephesians 1:1, verse 5. And you can click on that and it takes you to a Bible verse. Isn't this cool? Because I am young, I do not know what is best for my life. Well, you know, a lot of people told us that, don't they? You're going to grow up. Once you grow up, you'll get it. We hit, that's truth. Wrong. Do not look down on yourself because you are young. And when I was looking at that, I thought, this is ridiculous. This is for kids, but I guess it's good to help get it in them. But as I started going through that, you know, what I started realizing is I start feeling some of those things myself. I start thinking every day of the week that I've got to do all this and everything else on my own strength. Anybody tired of trying to carry everything on your own strength? You know, I believe I'm a child of God, but sometimes it just doesn't feel like it. Sometimes it doesn't feel like I get a chance to go sit at my daddy's table. Sometimes it doesn't feel like I get a chance to really talk to my daddy at all. Sometimes I feel like, because I'm so young as I am, that people won't listen to me. And you know, there's still people that think that because as a pastor, the average age of new pastors is 60-some years old. You know, the bottom line is, we can say, I messed up, there's no way God loves me, but that's trash. You see, because I've messed up, and I will, and I continue to mess up, but here's the good news. God is working it all for his glory to those who love him and have been called according to his purpose in Christ Jesus. Because as I mess up, the more truth I believe in my life, and as the more that gets straight, guess what? I got some good news for you. You want to hear this? I don't mess up with the same things I did when I was 16 years old. I don't mess up with the same things that I did when I was 20 years old. I still got a long way to go. I can't wait someday when I'm 63 and I say, I don't do the same mistakes I did when I was 43. And guess what? In that process, the reason why is because I'm believing the truth of God's word. And by believing the truth of God's word, I am becoming less of Jack and more of Christ in me. And I hope you see that. If you say, I can never overcome this, I've been addicted for so long, I've tried and I can never get through. Every time I've tried, I've slid back in, I've failed, and I'm back into addiction. I got to tell you something, that's trash and that's a lie from the enemy. Because when the sun sets you free, you're what? Free indeed. The truth is, I can do all things through Christ Jesus who gives me strength. And I am an overcomer by the blood of the Lamb. When we take our thoughts that are untrue, when we take them captive and make them obedient to Christ, we capture our destructive thoughts and make them obedient. Number two, we fix our thoughts on spiritual things. We fix our thoughts on spiritual things. On things eternal, not just the stuff here. I think this is really interesting. The Apostle Paul writes this from prison. Now, I've never been in prison, but I hear that prisons aren't very good, not a fun place. And I found out that Roman prisons were even worse. But Paul's writing this from prison, and in Philippians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9, he says, "Dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is bad, what could happen that would be terrible and horrible, and what's not going well in your life." Wrong version. That's the Jack version. Oh, woe's me. What he says is this. Now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true, what is honorable, and what is right, and what is pure and lovely and admirable. Think about those things. Those things that are excellent and worthy of praise. And then verse 9, he says, then the God of peace will be with you. Let me fix our thoughts there. There have been several times in my life where I've seen God work in ways that I never thought he could through me, or why he would ever want to through me, recognizing the mess that I am. And in that discussion, there was times in my life, I remember when I was at one of my first churches, I kind of thought it was time to, God was nudging me about this altar call thing. And I was like, really? Come on, things are going well now. Why do I want to mess it up? I'm not Billy Graham. You know, I'd seen my dad do it, and he had his own kind of way of sharing those things. And I'd seen that, you know, God, I got a lot going on right now, and you sure the services are just going fine? And he hammered on me and hammered on me, and so we went ahead, and I was just young and stupid enough one week to get up and say, all right, here you go. And, you know, probably some of the way I said it, probably wanted to keep people away from Jesus more than come to the altar and accept Jesus as their Lord and have him come and just touch their lives in a special way. And what I realized is by being faithful, I was thinking, God, there ain't one person who's going to come out of that seat. They've been sitting in that seat for probably 50 years. They ain't coming out now. And one of the weirdest things happened. One or two started coming up, and then others came up. I remember we did a revival one time. It was a revival, and we had altar calls, and occasionally people would come, and there tend to be some people just kind of went around when this evangelist friend of mine, John Hobbs, was in town. People would show up, and they were always the one that responded to the altar. And God just wanted me to pray during the whole service. Just pray. Just pray, Jack. And if anybody knows me, I'm like a cat when you hit with a laser pointer. At times, I don't stay very focused at times. I'm like, that's me. And I get my prayers to God, and it's hard for me to just still my mind and my heart and my life. And in doing so, I said, all right, God. And I went downstairs where no one was, and I just got quiet and just started to pray. And every time I want to be distracted, God would say, just focus and pray. And you could hear through the floorboards of the church. And hearing through the floorboards of the church, I knew that it was coming toward the end of the message, which that had to be from God. If anybody's ever heard John Hobbs preach, you never know when he's going to finish. and that's a good thing. So, but I went upstairs, and it was getting about time. And John said, Jack, come on up. And we started lifting. He opened up for an altar call, and Kenny Davis started playing. And as he started doing that, people started flooding the altar. There was people who were throwing cigarette packs on the altar. I mean, it was wild. People were throwing all kinds of stuff down. People were crying and weeping. The praise team, actually, we had a group called Soldiers of the Cross. Anybody remember them? They were doing music that week, and they went through every repertoire song they had. They sat down the piano. They were making up songs. It was awesome. And I was exhausted. I remember sitting back looking and just seeing people whose lives were changed. I was like, God, you're faithful. I remember there was one person there, his name was Vernon Schell, and he was in the back and he was praising God. It was later that week that he actually went home to be with the Lord. I saw people being released from things. All because God decided to do something in my thought process that I didn't agree with. For those of you struggling with that word that God gave you, and you don't like it, guess what? It's from God. And the thoughts, we need to take captive those other thoughts. You may say, well, Jack, I don't know how to do that. I'm not a pastor like you. You just walk around floating on a cloud and glowing with a halo all the time. Yes, that's true. However, oh my, you just don't know if you feel that way. Years ago, this woman came out of church one time when my parents were there, when my dad spoke someplace, and she looked at my mom and said, living with him must be like living with Jesus. And my mom went, yuck, you know. I want to tell you something. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you can see God working in you and look and see it happen. You will find what you're looking for only if you have the thoughts of God. And you find what you look for in life. If you're looking to be miserable in your mind, guess what you're going to find? Misery. If you're looking to be happy, you're going to find happiness. Like, for instance, it's the difference between being a spiritual buzzard and a spiritual hummingbird. What do buzzards search for? Dead things. I remember one time the other year we came out, and on our swing set, there was like three buzzards in the backyard. I'm like, what the heck is going on? And the other one were swooping down and flying in. I'm like, what in the world? I had to check my pulse, you know? And I went through, and they were circling around an area, so I sent the dog out into the woods, and what do you know? I found the dead possum or some kind of critter out there. they're attracted to dead stuff. In our spiritual life, if you want to not have life with Christ, then keep seeking the stuff that brings you death and dying. Keep telling yourself the lies from the enemy in Christ Jesus. But what do hummingbirds do? They look for nectar, sweet things. If you want to have a sweet, sweet spirit and a sweet, sweet relationship with Jesus, you got to seek out those things that bring the sweetness of the Holy Spirit in your life. The first thing you do, how do we do this, Jack? How do we do it? Well, when I wake up in the morning, I need to set my tone of the day. Instead of picking up my phone and checking out Instagram and Facebook, and see if I got a like from what I posted before I went to bed. Go ahead and pick up your Bible. Pick up your phone where you have your Bible app, your YouVersion or whatever Bible app that you have. And let the first thing that you meditate on and focus on be God's Word. If you got to drive somewhere, go ahead and put in something. You can go ahead and stream live an old sermon. You might get something else out of that. Audio Bibles through there. Just put it in as you ride to work and see if you focus on what God has to say. Let your mind drift to the spiritual thing. Put in praise and worship music and just sing. Even if you can't carry in a tune in a bucket, it's awesome. And then say a prayer. It doesn't have to be an hour prayer. It can be. It could be a two-minute prayer. Some of my best prayers happen when I'm running. Oh, God, just please get me through this next mile. And God, please get me through the next mile of my life. Please get me through this next section. Please help that person. I pray for all of you while I'm running. I think of your names and I lift up things, and when there's conflict and when there's hurt and there's pain, you're on my mind. Guess what? You're going to see good things happen when you focus on God in your life. Change what goes into your mind. And then when you get to work or the gym, listen to something that builds up Christ in your life. It's renewing. And then when the good happens, don't say, wow, I'm so lucky. Oh, wow, things, gray skies are clearing up. It's going my way. Woo! Stop and say, thank you, God. I don't deserve one ounce of it. Thank you, God, for blessing me. I'm going to continue to be faithful to you, God. And when I fail you, I'm going to ask for repentance and I want to seek you once again. Continue to renew my mind and my heart and my life. Because as a person thinks, they become. So what do we do? Therefore, I will take every thought captive and make it obedient to Christ. I will fix my thoughts on things that are pure and lovely and admirable. And if anything is excellent and praiseworthy, I will think about those things. You know, last week I asked you to pray and seek for one word that would direct you this year. For those procrastinators, you're going to do it this week. I asked you for that one word, and I also asked you to go ahead and figure out one verse for that. This week, I want you to prayerfully seek God for one thought, one that could make that bigger change in your life that you could have over and over again. Remember, I told you the word I didn't like last week was rest. So let us do our best to enter into that rest. But that was my verse from Hebrews 4, 9 through 11. So let us do our best, 11 says, so let us do our best to enter into that rest. But if we disobey God, as the people of Israel did, we will fall. So what I did is took that last section of that verse, and my thought is, and I said it a billion times today, God, I will do better to enter your rest. God, I will do my best to enter your rest. I had to keep saying that. And I'm actually kind of excited about some rest. I'm not talking about kicking back, sitting by the pool, you know, like that. I'm talking about just contentment in my soul. I'm tired of having my upheaval in my soul. I'm tired of the roller coaster ride in my spirit. And I need God to just bring peace and contentment there. I don't know what yours may be. If your word's selfless, it may be less of me, more in him, of him. Less of me, more in him. If it's generous, say, I am going to be a generous person. If you got a bad, rocky marriage right now, you say, God, I will love him with the love of Christ. I will love her with the love of Christ. I will love her with the love of Christ, and hope that God works through that. Because if you want your life to change, you got to start with something small. As a person thinks in their heart, so they become, and we go to the direction of our strongest thoughts. So as we're concluding today, we got to recognize, our weapons are dynamite against these strongholds, these akamoras, these prisons. We need to take every thought captive and make it obedience to Christ, because we will fix our thoughts on what is pure and what is admirable, and the peace of Christ will be with us. Others may say to you, that's just a little thought. But we know that it's the small things in our life that make the big changes. Therefore, we will focus on truth, not on the lies of the enemy. I'm going to ask the praise team as they come up, and I'm going to ask you all to just please stand where you are. And as the lights drop down and we enter into this time of prayer, I just want you to be focused on prayer, if you will. Just bow your heads and pray. Father God, we pray today that in your presence, you would begin to renew our minds with the truth, that you would give us all one thought, one small thought that would help direct the course of this year and even eventually our entire lives. So I want to thank you right now, God, for that one thought that I'll think again and again and again that'll direct my year and maybe my life. And God, I want to thank you that we hear from you and that your Spirit can direct us in things that seem so small, like a thought. Conform us into the image of your Son, and I pray, God, that you would speak to everyone and give us one specific changing thought. Give us the power to recognize when we're believing Satan's lies and his untruth. Let's make them obedient to you, and let's lock them away. That one thought that we may glorify you will be over and above all things that remind us of who we are, that we can keep praying. And as we keep praying today, God, I want there's some people that I want to just give the opportunity once again to give them a chance to know you through your Son, Jesus Christ, to make them new. So right now, I believe there's somebody in this room or somebody online that's feeling drawn to God. They don't know why. They're just feeling this draw upon their life. And let me tell you what that is. That's the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. He's wanting to show you the love of God. And now let me tell you what's going to happen. There's going to be another voice somewhere in your mind that's saying, you know, that's stupid. You're not good enough. God knows what you've done. He knows that you can't be helped. You can't be fixed. And then there's another voice that's saying, I can just try harder. I can just do more. I don't need to depend on God. I can do more. I can do it under my own strength. And the fact is, that's trash. That's not truth. Jesus says, come exactly as you are. He says, I stand at the door and I'm knocking. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in. Jesus right now is knocking at the door of your heart. He simply wants to invite you in to turn from your sin and turn toward him. To forgive you from all those sins. Where the old is gone and the new has come. He wants to fill you with the Spirit so you'll never be the same. There are those of you who came to church today or are turned on today without having him in your life. Don't leave without inviting him into your life. Some of you will say, that's me, I know it, I can sense it. That's why I'm here. I no longer want to live in the life of sin. I no longer want to live the life of lies. That's your prayer. If that's your prayer that you don't want to live that and you need Jesus Christ, raise your hand. Even if you're at home, just go ahead and lift your hand up and say, that's me. That's what I need. I see those. I see those, and that's excited about that. So God, renew their lives. And would everybody here just pray this out loud? I know, this is something God's telling me to do this week. We don't usually do it, but even if you're at home, I want you to do it right now if you raised your hand. And even if you didn't, everybody say together, Heavenly Father, I am a sinner. And I need a Savior. And Jesus, you're it. Save me and forgive me for my sins. Make me brand new. I believe you died for me and rose again so I could live for you. Fill me with your Holy Spirit so I can serve you, love you, follow you, and live for you. Today I give you my life. And I thank you for the new life. For my life is yours. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's give the Lord praise as we move further in our prayer time today. Amen. That's what it's all about. And our minds tell us that it's something else in this world. Our minds tell us things completely different. For those who may have said that prayer years ago, if you're like me, you've gotten off track and believed the lies of the enemy. You are a child of God, and God wants to do something great in and through you. So for those of you who accepted the Lord today, guess what? Heaven threw a party. Aren't you excited about that? I like parties. Let's just worship the Lord continually. I'm going to ask that our prayer ministers come up. Randy, would you please come up? And also, Donna, would you come up? I think Debbie's away today. They're on both sides, and they're just here to pray with you and pray over you. And don't let Satan tell you by stepping up, it's a sign of weakness. It's a sign of strength when we get before the Lord and have others pray with us and for us. Amen?
All right, sing out with me. So I'll shout out your name from the rooftops. I proclaim that I am yours. I am yours. All that I am, I place into your love. Truth, knowing that your perfect grace has brought me to this place. Because of you, I freely live my life to you, oh God, I give. So I stand before you, God. I lift my voice, 'cause you set me free.
Lift my it again.
Shout out your name from the rooftops, I proclaim that I am yours. I am yours. All that I am, I place into your loving hands, and I am yours.
There you go, right there. That's awesome. Did you hear that? You know, we just sang, I shout out your name. Jesus. Hey, right. Jesus. And what are we shouting? I am yours. Oh, that was lame. I am yours. Because we need to know through this week that all that we are, that means that mess that you guys are, that mess that I am, that's all he wants. And when the world's telling us something else, and when we're hearing the lies of the enemy, know that you are his. Just walk outside and shout. Somebody might be taking a smoke break. Scare the stuff out of them. Go, Jesus, I'm yours. They'll drop the cigarette. Because that's who you are. That's who you are. And don't let anybody, don't let Satan, anybody, no person in the church, no person outside the church, tell you you're anything else but a child of God. So this week, amen. Right, Gary? There we go. We even practice amens with Gary. It's awesome. Isn't it awesome to know that you're a child of God? So when you walk out of this room, who cares what's going on around you? You're his. Put that thought in your mind this week and see if it doesn't change you. Because next week, we're going to talk about your words. Yeah, I know the feeling. So. But have an awesome week in Jesus Christ. Be filled with the Holy Spirit and let him go. Amen. And not